Next are the five compositions. I shall once more give explanations here in a summary fashion of the stages of the path of the most profound view and a vast conduct, making it easy to access. So when we speak about the profound view, so actually that is trying to, actually here Lama Tsongkhapa is trying to convey as to the actual mode of existence of things and events. So what is that mode of existence? So, because that reality has to be actually unraveled only through very profound or very careful investigation. So it is because that it involves tremendous investigation and exploration, as such, that kind of reality as found by such profound investigation is called the profound view. And when we speak about view, it is to be understood in two ways, the subjective view and objective view. So this word view in Tibetan is called Mikpa. And then when you take this word Mikpa, so actually it has three different connotations. One, Mikpa in terms of the object, Mikpa or the view in terms of the object, Mikpa or the view in terms of the subject, and Mikpa or the view in terms of the action involved. And next, when it speaks about the vast conduct, vast, so here it is referred to these very teachings are referred to as vast because it comprises a tremendous amount of varieties, because it comprises the teachings on generosity, ethical discipline, patience, and so forth. So these very teachings or the profound view, so that is actually traceable. The lineage is from Nagarjuna, and whereas the vast contact in terms of the other practices other than wisdom, they are primarily derived through the lineage of Asanga. So in terms of the compositions of Nagarjuna, we do find Nagarjuna explaining at length about the preciousness of human birth and so forth. For example, in his composition called Compendium of Sutras. So there you do find these mentions. But otherwise, he is very much kind of emphatic on the wisdom aspect. And whereas Asanga, so in terms of the view, though he describes or teaches on the concept of emptiness according to Chittamatra school, but he is actually more emphatic about the practical, or more emphatic about the other practices like generosity and so forth, or the method side of Buddhist teachings. So it is because of this that we say the teachings of the profound view, they are traced, or the lineage can be traced from Nagarjuna and then to the Buddha Shakyamuni. And with regard to the teachings in relation to the vast conduct comprising of generosity and so forth, they can be traced to to Asanga and then back to Buddha Shakyamuni. So here, Lama Tsongkhapa, when he says that, I shall once more give explanations here in summary. So here, he refers to this teaching as summary because he has already taught the great exposition of the on the stages of the path of enlightenment, Lam Rim Chemo. So it is because of this that he is referring to this teaching, this very text, as the smaller or the compact, more kind of in the form of summary of what he has already taught in Lam Rim Chemo, or the great exposition on the paths, or the stages of path enlightenment. So next is identification of the Dharma to be explained in the context of what the title means. The text reads, "The Dharma to be explained here consists in how the fortunate are led to the level of Buddhahood by means of the stages of path enlightenment, it summarizes all the points of the conqueror's excellent speech. So here, when it says summarizes all the points, so actually Lama Tsongkhapa refers to all the parts which are comprised in the Mahayana tradition and the Hinayana tradition and all. So when in terms of those teachings on the vast aspect which comprises of generosity and so forth, so it is a matter of somebody whether he is really able to engage in that or not. But in terms of the profound teaching that is on the concept of selflessness, so there actually the Buddha Shakyamuni taught the concept of selflessness at various levels. So it is because of this that the complications arise as to which is the appropriate or the intention of the Buddha and which not. And it reads, it summarizes all the points of the conqueror's excellent speech, the tradition of the two great trailblazers of Nagarjuna and Asanga. So because of having this complication as to confusion as to which of the two or which of the different understandings of substances is the authentic, the ultimate purport of the Buddha Shakyamuni. So there then, Lama Tsongkhapa here says that Nagarjuna and Asanga, actually their tradition are to be upheld because these two are the ones who are prophesied by Buddha Shakyamuni. So Nagarjuna actually, he is the trailblazer in terms of the Madhyamika school of thought teachings, and Asanga is the trailblazer in terms of the teachings of the Chittamatra or the Mandalini school teachings. So again, as I said earlier, out of these two different views, the view of emptiness according to Madhyamika school of thought or the Midway school of thought, and the view of emptiness according to Chittamatra or the Mandalini school. So here, when one really investigates as to which of these two teachings on emptiness is, the Midway school emptiness or the emptiness is proposed by Chittamatra or the Mandalini school. So there, when you really undertake an unbiased way of analysis or investigation, then we realize that the one actually propounded by Nagarjuna happened to be something which is devoid of even the slightest contradiction. So because, and also in terms of the experiential, at an experiential level, we see that unless one understands the selflessness or the emptiness of inherency of the mind, it is rather quite uneasy for us to really combat or subside the negative emotions that are attached to our mind. And whereas the Chittamatras or the Mandalini school, they hold on to this mind as something very inherent, something very intrinsic. And it is actually Madhyamika school of thought which says that no, such kind of mind does not exist inherently or intrinsically. So, although the Asangas tradition, that is the Mandalini school emptiness or this philosophy, and no doubt is of help and some kind of benefit to us in terms of our meditation, but that as propounded by Nagarjuna, if you really get some kind of glimpse of it, so that really has a very strong impact in terms of bringing about transformation in our mind. And then again, in the very tradition of Nagarjuna, so we see that it is further two divisions. The one who accepts the existence of inherence or existence of intrinsicality or inherency at the conventional level, and the one who does not accept this inherency even at the conventional level. So the one who Actually, Chandrakshita and Bhavaveka, they belong to the category who accepts the inherency at the conventional level, and whereas the Buddha-palita, Chandrakirti, so they belong to the category who don't accept inherency even at the level of convention. And the Mahayana tradition, again, it is divided into two. One, the Sutra follower, and the other, the Tantra follower. And the kind of the teaching, the Buddhism that is flourished in Tibet, happened with something which is complete in the form of the Sutra and in form of Tantra both. And through emergence of Adisha, the Bhankara, to Tibet. So since that, at that time, Tibet didn't have much of the non-Buddhist philosophers or practitioners. So although we did have the Pun tradition, the ancient Tibetan religion, although we did have some kind of conflicts between the Buddhism that was flourishing there with the already existing ancient Tibetan religion, Pun. But in a more general sense, we see that the Tibetans, in a general sense, they were already embracing Buddhism as the prime teachings or prime practice. And although the label, the teachings of the small capacity person, middling capacity person, and the minor capacity person, so although that was prevalent in India, but that kind of teaching became more prevalent in that very fashion in Tibet. So here then Lama Tsongkhapa says that the kind of the teaching that he's going to give here, or that he's going to compose here, is going to be something which is of the tradition of Adisha, which can be traced back to Nagarjuna Sangha and still back to Buddha Shakyamuni. And also that this very teaching that he's going to teach or compose here is something very complete in nature, complete in terms of Tantra and Sutra. And then the text reads, it summarizes all the points of the conqueror's excellent speech, follows the tradition of the two great trailblazers of Nagarjuna and Asanga, constitutes the Dharma system of the supreme beings who progress to the state of omniscience, and contains all the stages without omission that the three types of beings need to practice. So here, for a practitioner to really proceed or traverse to the ultimate state of enlightenment, he has to have the experiences of these three different teachings, the teachings that are meant for these three kinds of beings, a small capacity, a middling capacity, and a great capacity. So here, Lama Tsongkhapa says that he is teaching in this fashion, in a very gradual way of leading a very specific individual person from the ordinary state to the ultimate state of enlightenment.